Welcome to the Liver Lounge, your go-to podcast for the latest updates in hepatology, featuring discussions with the world's leading experts.
So thanks everyone for listening in to the latest podcast by the Liver Foundation. I'm Dr. Margaret Ting. I'm from the National University of Singapore. And we have here today Professor Paula Zimbrian. She's from the Departments of Psychiatry and Surgery of the Yale School of Medicine in the United States. And she has recently published an article in Liver Transplantation. And this article is entitled Psychosocial Evaluation of Living Liver Donors, State of Current Practices in the United States. So Professor Zimbrian, we are really excited to have you today to discuss your article. And, you know, just to kind of set the stage for the rest of our discussion, may I just ask what prompted you or the study team to kind of, you know, decide to write on this topic or to research more on this topic? Why would the psychosocial evaluation of living liver donors prior to transplant be important?
Thank you for having me. Yeah, so living organ donation in general has been the subject of significant debate in society and in medicine, trying to figure out what is the impact of living donation upon the mental health of the donor, if any. And the liver donation surgery being a more extensive type of surgery has been subject to more scrutiny. Opinions have varied from people feeling very strongly that the mental health aspects of donation should not play any role. It's a strictly medical procedure. To the opposite, that organ donation is something totally outside of a regular life experience, and it should be extremely regulated, and we should find all kind of mental health. We should be very aware of any or a lot of mental health concern. I'm a part of transplant psychiatry group, which are psychiatrists, but that work with transplant patients and with living donors, along with other mental health specialties like psychologists and social workers. And these discussions have been going on for decades now. There's an increasing body of evidence about the mental health progress of living organ donors. So our group our group collaborated with hepatologists and nephrologists and surgeons within the transplant society to find out what is happening now in the United States in terms of the psychiatric psychological evaluation of living liver donors, the treatment or support offered, and how if mental health issues play a role in selecting the donors, what are those? What are those mental health concerns that are playing a role?
Thanks for giving us an insight into the reason for your study. And can I just ask, I mean, there were a few aspects that the team kind of concentrated on, which you have highlighted. And how did, what was the design of your study? How did you guys go about trying to find this out? Did you use a validated questionnaire? Did you come up with your own questionnaire? And what were some of the main results that you want to highlight from your study?
So we created the questionnaire because it's a topic that has not been extensively researched. So we wanted to create a questionnaire that is assessing the most recent relevant aspects of the mental health evaluation of the living donors. We used a methodology of surveying the program that has been validated before, meaning that we sent the survey to many various members of the transplant teams, not just to mental health professionals. And we selected the answers based on an algorithm that emphasized people we thought are mostly aware of the details of the evaluation and would provide the most accurate answers. The survey looked at several main components. One was what is the structure of the psychosocial team, the living liver donor psychosocial team. We also inquired about the process of the evaluation, how, at what point in the living donor overall evaluation, the mental health assessment is integrated in the whole journey of the living donor. And we also inquired about, and this included also assessing the post-transplant mental health support, if any. And then a third component was what are the psychiatric or mental health contraindications to living donations? How do transplant consider different psychiatric conditions or behaviors such as non-adherence or substance use being a reason to not pursue with living donors?
Great. And I mean, I think in these major aspects, could you please like maybe discuss what was some of the significant results of the study that the surveys that you found, like for most programs, what was their structure like, and did the programs agree on the contraindications to living donor transplant?
So there was a significant variability in the structure of the team. Most programs have a social worker involved in the team. That was the most consistent finding, and an independent liver donor advocate, which follows the recommendations of OTPN in the United States. And so that was very encouraging that all programs provide this support and this type of evaluation. There was variability in terms of what other mental health professionals are involved in the evaluation and treatment. The majority of programs seem to have a psychiatry plus social worker involved in the living donor liver living donor evaluation LLDs. But also a good number of programs include psychology. And what was interesting to find out is that a third of the programs have both actually all three, psychology, psychiatry, and social work, which speaks to the complexity of the mental health assessment of the donors.
In your opinion, or at least in your program, what's the structure of your program's living donor assessment, psychosocial assessment like? And in your opinion, how necessary it is to have a psychiatrist and a psychologist on together with a social worker in the team?
Where I work in the Yale transplant program, we do have a transplant psychologist, a psychiatry, and a dedicated social worker for living organ donors. And we find that this really reflects, and it's extremely helpful to assess in more depth our patients and to understand their strengths and their mental health weaknesses or risk factors, that we can help better our candidates to pursue towards living donation in a successful way with minimal impact on their overall quality of life and emotional state. Some of the living donors, I mean, many of the living donors do not have a psychiatric disorder per se. But donation, especially if it's done to a family member, or to a child, can present significant psychological aspects that are better understood by our psychologists. However, as we are seeing living liver donation as being a safe procedure, a procedure that actually can improve the self-esteem of a patient, can proceed safely without exacerbation of a pre-existing psychiatric condition, it is very likely that more people with a history of psychiatric disorder will want to donate. And for that, psychiatrists are better positioned, in my opinion, to assess, to understand the risk to some, to a psychiatric disorder, and to help the organ donors navigate those risks.
So essentially, I think you're trying to kind of say that if the donor has a history of psychiatric conditions, then it would probably be more beneficial for the donor to have a psychiatrist, expert psychiatrist on board to assess. But in most other cases where the donor is perfectly healthy, normal, with no mental health issues, then it may be okay to not have a expert psychiatrist, especially in, you know, health systems where the support may not be so good, right? And I think you kind of also alluded to this earlier, when you mentioned there's like two schools of thought, right, in these patients or in these donors with psychiatric issues. Some would say that you know, this is a purely medical procedure and, you know, it's not a contraindication to LDLT. What's your thought on this? Do you fall into that school of thought where, you know, you think that this is purely, you know, something medical and these donors' mental health conditions are not a strict contraindication to LDLT? What do you think about that?
I think we have to fully understand each case and each condition. In my opinion, I think there's no psychiatric condition with very few exceptions. So, and we distinguish acute ongoing conditions versus a history of a psychiatric condition, because there are psychiatric conditions that with treatment can be stabilized and could present minimal risk for any sort of negative events with throughout the living donation. But there are some psychiatric conditions that in the acute phase would be extremely challenging to follow, or through the surgery, or even to provide informed consent. If somebody is in a full episode of manic decompensation, when their thinking is extremely changed from their own baseline, I think in the interest of patient, it's better to help the patient stabilize and achieve remission before pursuing with a donation. So I think it's I don't think a psychiatric history should be an absolute automatic contraindication. I think we moved away from that stance many years ago. But also, I think when patients have significant psychiatric conditions, we have to really take into consideration that severity, the risk of relapse, the resources available to assist the patient after surgery, if necessary, in order to help the living donors be successful with a living donation.
Just also to discuss this issue of LDLT and living donors from another angle, I'm not sure how common it is for your transplant program to see living unrelated donors. But is there any difference in the evaluation from living related donors and compared to living unrelated donors? Do you think there's any difference in the way that you approach them, and also their motivations and things like that? Do you think that that changes your assessment in any fashion?
I think that's a very good question and an important topic, because I think non-directed, non-related donation is increasing, and we see it at our center as well. These are amazing people who want to donate a part of their liver to people they don't know, they might never know, they don't have a relationship with. So I think in general for that category, there's an increased concern for their mental health, because they don't have the reward of helping somebody close to them. So in that sense, there's more concern about what is the positive reinforcement of this procedure, which is not completely risk free, right? There's also a lot of debate about what is the motivation of these patients, and what is the right motivation to be successful. In general, we found in our survey that this group of donors are more likely to go through the mental health evaluation first. Our study didn't assess the rationale for the workflow, but what we know from individual discussions with various centers, there is this belief that the mental health evaluation is a non-invasive procedure, right? It involves talking. The risk of it, it's lower before putting the candidate through more invasive procedures or investigations. We start with that just to kind of order the risk, if you want, like with starting with the lowest. There are cases where the motivation is not genuine, that is linked with often with expectations that are not realistic, and we know that could impact mental health in a negative way. There is still concern in the United States about doing donation for material gain, that is illegal. And even if we're not detective, that is one of the things we try to assess in the evaluation. Then another point of this evaluation is patient's ability to provide informed consent. Do they really understand what the risks are? In the idea that if their expectations are realistic, the impact on mental health state would be lower.
And this leads on to, I guess, the next question, and something that you touched upon earlier or so. After transplant, I think your study also kind of looked at post-transplant follow-up. That's not something that is compulsory. How many programs actually had post-transplant follow-up for the living donors, and do you know any details like how long was the follow-up? And also from your personal experience, does your program have a post-transplant follow-up for the donors? And usually how long do you follow them up for? And what do you look and assess for in your follow-up?
So our survey inquired about post-transplant follow-up. We didn't inquire about duration, but in terms of post-transplant follow-up, it was encouraging to see that at least about half of the programs do assess their mental well-being of the donors, mostly in the form of screening questions by the post-donation coordinators or the independent living donor advocate. Only a minority of programs provide more detailed follow-up in terms of availability of treatment or counseling. And we do not address for how long it's available. I think this remains one of the challenges of the process of living donation. It is marked by many factors that are not necessarily center related, but also related to the availability, overall availability of mental health services in the country. In our center, we do have psychology and psychiatry available for short-term treatment post-donation. Theoretically, we put a 2-year limit, but practically post-donation, but practically we help with donors even many years after donation if we can. There are a lot of challenges in the United States assessing mental health care period due to lack of services, the lack of parity. The insurance companies do not reimburse mental health care while they reimburse medical care. And that also is playing a role in the variability of services available to living donors.
So I guess you're saying that it's ideal to have it, but because of availability of mental health services, then sometimes it's not available, and therefore, I mean, do you think that, or in your opinion, follow-up post-transplant, post-donation, why is it important? Like, maybe you can educate us a bit on that, and why we transplant programs should push to have the availability of mental health services for living donors. That would be helpful.
I think programs could be a great starting point for screening for mental health problems because most of the living donors, I think, will not have severe psychiatric concerns post-transplantation. There will be rarely that they have severe psychiatric concerns. I think that programs can integrate screening in their regular medical follow-ups. And I think they should have some form of availability if the screening reveals a concern that further assessment and, if necessary, intervention is available. I think this is important because this would reassure people that if they have a psychiatric history or during the evaluation a risk is identified, then they can get help after the donation and they are not left by themselves to face or to navigate a system that is not always friendly. I do think that most of the times we should expect an exacerbation of a chronic condition that most likely will not be related to the donation in itself. Donation related or causing psychiatric problem, that would be extremely rare.
Good to hear that. And I guess this is probably my last question for you, but feel free to add on if you have any in the comments. In your experience, what are some of the factors which would impact the donor's post-transplant psychosocial well-being?
I think that it's a great question that we do have to focus on. So I think there are many there's a significant variability in what is important for each donor, and that's one of the focuses of the pre-donation transplant evaluation to identify find the risks. I think What we know now is that the recipient course is actually extremely important for the donor. That if the recipient is doing well, most of the times the donor also is doing well emotionally. And that is other risk factors are, of course, the social circumstances, the psychiatric history, the expectations, the support, the psychosocial support as well. But so identifying the risk factors allows us post-transplant to kind of plan the support we give. For instance, if a recipient has a negative course, we would reach out to the donor and try to support the donor through this process.
Great. That's a really, really interesting insight, I guess, into you know the some of the what the work that you do. I mean, pre and post transplant for our living donors. So, if there are no, if you have any other further comments or questions for about this topic?
Listeners will understand that the main reason for the psychosocial evaluation pre-donation is to help the donor. I know there have been some voices in the past that felt that psychiatric evaluation is an extra burden and it might not be appropriate. The transplant community is really focusing on supporting the donors who are giving this amazing life, the amazing gift of life to others, to help them so this procedure is a successful one and it help to help them have a successful life after the donation.
Great. Thanks a lot for your insightful comments. And I think with this, thanks for listening in to the latest podcast by the Liver Foundation. And we hope to see you again the next time. Thanks a lot, Professor Zimbrian, as well.
Thank you for having me.
We have come to the end of the episode. Thank you for joining us and stay tuned for more captivating discussions.